Hello. Before we get into it, I want to let you know that this will be the last episode of the season, as they say, and that I will be taking a break while I have my baby and prepare for being a mom of two. That said, I have a few interviews in the works with plans to return to podcasting in May or June, depending on how fast I can edit and how motivated I feel between now and then. I want to give you a heads up that the next season will look and sound different, as I plan to give voice to folks who are not normally in the spotlight and who may not normally share their stories. Folks who walk through the world as self-identified introverts or kind of along that spectrum. I plan to call this season Vibrant Introverts, a population of people I love to support, empower, and serve in my work. I will share more about that soon, but I want you to be aware as the change is coming with this new season for the podcast, and a new season of life for myself and my family. And actually, one more thing. Depending on my energy, I also plan to release a bonus episode in between seasons, so stay tuned for that. And just to give you a hint, I'm not sure when it will be delivered, if you know what I mean. Thank you for listening, and let's get into the episode.
It means that I need to believe in myself, that I need to believe that I'm worthy of more than what I was giving myself at that time. I wasn't living up to my own expectations. I wasn't living up to my full potential. I was literally wasting all of my talent, all of my intelligence. I wasn't putting any effort into things that were meaningful or worthy. And that showed in so many different ways, not just the drugs and alcohol, but the men that I was dating with, the friends that I was picking, the environments that I was in, my grades. It just showed up in so many different ways that I knew that I deserved more and I needed to work on that. It wasn't anybody else's fault except my own.
Hello, welcome to Act Inspired Behavior, the show about real people and their real stories of transformation and change told through the lens of acceptance and commitment therapy. I'm Gabby Lanier. Have you ever been put in a situation where you were forced to do something that didn't ring true to you? Perhaps it was something your parents asked you to do, or perhaps it was a new rule at work, or something you felt pressured to do because of your friends. When someone tells you to do something that is extremely outside of your deepest desires, how do you respond to that? Do you go along with it happily? I certainly don't, and I know that everyone has their own ways of reacting to it. Sometimes you might find yourself reacting in an equally opposite way, resisting the pull of someone else's desires for you. This is a struggle that our guest, Shantae Gold, a behavior analyst and nutrition coach, has shared about her upbringing and how that impacted her into adulthood. Shantae describes how she was raised in a very strict evangelical home and how her resistance to following the many rules and expectations of the household resulted in her feeling isolated and different, so incredibly far from her own desires, and then how this eventually led her to another extreme. All with a desire to just be normal, to connect with friends outside of her church. Her story brought up so many little memories and experiences I've had. And the one that I'm going to share is really brief, and yet it's such a strong memory of my older brother John and I, around ages 6 and 5. So there I was sitting in the living room, probably playing with my Barbies. My brother comes in the room excited about something. And then without warning, he approaches me. He's all jovial and excited, and he yanks my arm really hard. He lifts me up to my feet and then kind of forces me to dance with him. And after several seconds of this forced dancing, this uncontrollable rage kind of just coursed through me, and this desire to be free from his grip, it just flooded me. And then when I tried to pull away, he held on. He wouldn't let me go. So what do you think I did? I bit him, basically, really hard. And then, of course, he let go. And so, yes, I did regain my freedom for a time, and then eventually found myself in timeout because, that's not okay. And I was decidedly not where I wanted to be, and not any closer to that freedom and independence that I liked to have. I loved playing by myself. And actually, I was really surprised by my own reaction to it all, to this situation that was placed upon me. This was not something I normally did, right? So I wonder if you can relate to this, the desire to make your own decisions, the pull of someone else's desires and your extreme reaction to their pull. Let's hear Shantae's story and how she pulled away from rules and boundaries only to find herself farther from what she wanted in the first place. Hello.
Hey. Hey there. Hi. I'm about to crash after our interview, so.
Nice. Yeah, do you go to bed pretty early?
No, I don't, but I went to bed really late last night, and so I'm a little exhausted today, but it's all good. All good. How are you?
Good. I was like delighted because I'm like, oh, I go to bed at 9 too.
I mean, I try. Oh my God. I try and I should, but not these days. It's just so crazy around here. My husband and I are getting ready to move in like 3 weeks to a new house. So I'm a little stressed with that. So it's hard for me to like get to bed, even though I should. A lot of things are on my mind.
I feel you. Yeah. I would definitely be the same way, but my husband wakes up at 5 a.m. and so we've been syncing our sleep schedules, and sometimes I'll sleep in till 5:30, but
5:30.
No. But my son wakes up around 6:40, like almost exactly every day. So it gives me about an hour. And so if I sleep in any more than that, I lose time. I lose my free time. And I'm like, no.
I feel you. Oh my God. I can see that being me too in a few years.
Yeah. Ooh, I just felt the baby move. I'm really pregnant right now.
Oh my goodness.
Okay. Yeah, it's pretty exciting.
When do you do?
I'm due mid-April.
Yay. That's so exciting. My best friend's due in a couple weeks.
Oh, okay. Well, COVID baby. Yeah. Is this her first baby?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, she's so excited. She was showing us the other day of all of her baby stuff, like she's prepared for. And I'm like, do women, are moms usually like this prepared? You look like you're prepared for the apocalypse. Like she was like every decked out, like bags of things that I've never, obviously, because I've never had a kid, but still I was like, is that normal?
Okay. So welcome, Shantae. I'm so excited to talk to you.
Thank you for having me.
Yay. So I would love for you to introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about you, where you're from, and what you do.
Okay. Well, my name is Shantae Gold. I am a board certified behavior analyst and a behavioral nutrition coach. I currently live in Los Angeles, but I grew up and my heart is in San Diego, California. My husband and I are moving to Marietta, which is a little bit closer to San Diego, but not as expensive. So, yeah, we're moving there in a couple of weeks. I'm so excited.
Great. And I know that you, prior to what you're doing now, you were a clinical behavior analyst. And so you kind of made that shift fairly recently. Is that right?
Yeah, actually, I still am. I am doing that. I know I don't talk about it a lot on my Instagram or even how I introduce myself because I'm trying to make that shift. And so I'm trying to, I guess you could say, create a new identity, a new professional identity.
Yeah, for sure. I totally get that in the same way. I work full time in a school district, but I don't talk about that very much because that's kind of not why I'm on Instagram.
Right, exactly. Two completely different things.
Yeah. And you've done such a wonderful job too of really creating your kind of your specialty and what you're all about and basing it around your interests and your strengths, literally your strengths.
Thank you.
that's so cool to see. And when I reached out to you, you know, I'd been following you for at least a year, I want to say. So it's been fun to kind of see you on your path and your journey, taking the science of behavior analysis and really applying it to this whole other world of fitness. And I know that that is definitely part of your story. But tonight, when I asked you to share a personal story, you were interested in telling something about kind of your upbringing and how that has impacted you and some of the struggles that you faced along the way that has brought you to where you are right now. Mm-hmm. So would you like to go ahead and share your story, and where would be a good place to start?
Well, I was born in, no, I'm just kidding. no, I think a good place to start would be probably like around middle school and high school. I think when we spoke before, I was sharing with you, you know, I grew up in a very strict evangelical Christian home, and that community and that culture influenced a lot of the ways that my parents parented me. So a lot of their rules and restrictions were governed by the rules and restrictions of the church. And that I made a huge negative impact on me socially at school, because I, you know, I created friendships at school, but I was never allowed to do any of the things that the other kids were allowed to do, or my friends were allowed to do. And so I felt very isolated, and I felt different for a really long time, and I hated it. I just wanted to be the same. I just wanted to blend in. I wanted to hang out with, you know, do normal preteen, teenager things. I mean, I felt so restricted in so many different things, like not just like with hanging out with my friends, but with the type of music I was allowed to listen to, with the clothes that I needed to wear. I wasn't allowed to go to school dances. I mean, the list just goes on. It was just a lot of restriction. And I think that after so many years of that and being forced to go to church every single Sunday and go to youth group and church camps just year after year, I just got tired of it. And I never felt like that community was for me. I just felt trapped the whole time, but I had to be compliant because I was living under my parents' house, and it was, you know, their rules, and that's the way that they wanted it. But as I got older, and as I was trying to create an identity for myself, I just kind of went over the edge a little bit. And once I was able to get a little bit of freedom, I didn't know how to handle that freedom. So when I was placed, mm-hmm. when I went to parties, or when I went, you know, just regular social outings, I just didn't know how to control my alcohol. I quickly got into drugs, and I liked it a lot. And I did that for a long, long time. And don't get me wrong, like, when I look back at that time in my life, it's not like I don't have like a bad feeling around drugs. I'm actually very pro drugs in a sense, like psychedelics and stuff. I'm very pro experimenting and those types of things. It's just, I was just uneducated, and it was just the time that I was taking it, I just didn't know how to handle it. So that just kind of led me down a really dangerous path where I put so much attention and time in partying and drugs that I started to neglect other parts of me that needed attention, like my education and my confidence and my self-esteem. Like for so many years, I was just hiding all of my insecurities in drugs and alcohol, and that ended up affecting me in a pretty major way down the road.
Yeah. And I think it makes a lot of sense. I mean, you know how in behavior analysis, we talk about how behavior occurs in context, and, you know, behavior is rational. Mm-hmm. And that growing up in a context where you're basically, it sounds like even maybe you weren't even allowed to think certain things. Mm-hmm. Like, I want something else, or I want to do this thing that maybe you consider inappropriate. But the tricky thing is about that is that if you are told not to do something or not to think something, it's like you want to do it more, mm-hmm. you know? And when I know for myself, when I restrict myself, when it comes to dieting, you know, or sugar, it's like your body goes through this extinction burst because you want to have it so badly. But the thing is around the thinking, it's very difficult to put thoughts on extinction.
Right.
When there's so many things in your world, you know, growing up that trigger you to want those things because everyone else has them. Everyone else has those experiences. And so you went kind of to that extreme. Do you feel like with doing some of that, and you're even saying like, it wouldn't have been so bad if you hadn't gone to that extreme. Once you started doing those experiences, what did that give you in the short term that you were really wanting?
I mean, at that time, it was just connection, you know, it was just connection with friends and people that I feel like I didn't have really a chance to create that when I was in middle school and high school. Now, I have my best friend, the one that I just told you about, who's pregnant. She has been with me since middle school, and she has been like the one consistent friend in my life. Yeah. But, so she has been through that journey. It didn't affect her as much as it did me. But she had a completely different upbringing. Her parents weren't as restrictive and overbearing as mine were. So she didn't, just different experiences. But I wanted to feel accepted in a group, in a community. And so drugs and alcohol were the easiest way to experience that and find that connection.
Yeah. Oh, that makes so much sense. Mm-hmm. Especially because earlier you were saying how being in that other community, you didn't relate to it and it actually made you feel more isolated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know what it was. You know, looking back on it, maybe I didn't make enough effort to try to connect with them, but I just knew at that time that I just didn't want to because I had my best friends or my friends at school, but I just wasn't allowed to hang out with them because they weren't Christian. And so it was kind of like, well, now I really don't want to be friends with those people at church if I, you know, just because my friends at school aren't Christian. It just didn't make sense to me. And so it was just kind of like my own rebellion at that time, like just writing it out until I had the freedom to do what I wanted.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you get to this point where you're starting to experiment, maybe going to the extreme because you're just, did this happen in high school, did you say? Or was it later?
It was starting to happen toward the end of high school.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then did you end up going to college?
Yeah. I went to community college for 2 years down here in SoCal. Mm-hmm. And then I transferred up to San Francisco State. And all 4 years were pretty heavily involved in drugs and alcohol for sure. Grades suffered, of course. I didn't take school seriously at all. Like I wanted to be a makeup artist at that time. I actually didn't even want to go to school, but thankfully my parents forced me to. And they said, well, as long as you're living under our roof, you're going to college. And so I, you know, picked sociology because it was the easiest degree that I could think of at the time. Because I, like I said, I had no long-term plans to, you know, to do anything with a degree. And what I wanted to do was graduate and then, you know, pursue my career as a makeup artist. And so I obviously didn't take school seriously because A, I didn't want to be in school anyways. And then B, I was having way too much fun doing drugs and alcohol.
Well, and again, it's like, if you're kind of forced into that path, you know, by your parents and well-meaning, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm, yes.
But if your values don't align with those goals, then it's just not going to be the same.
Yeah.
And your goal, it sounded like your value is really still around that connection and that community and you had other pursuits that you wanted as well. So that's just so interesting looking back, right? Because it's like you kind of needed to go through that kind of figuring out process.
Yeah.
Because you weren't really allowed to have that freedom earlier on in your life.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of did it a little bit later.
100%. I truly feel that it was meant to happen. It needed to happen or else I wasn't going to have any experiences of my own, you know? And I think even, you know, me and my parents, we're very close now. Like, they're awesome. And I, you know, every time I talk about this, I never want people to think or assume anything bad about them or that they were terrible parents, because they weren't. They're actually quite the opposite. And I would not be here today without the love and structure that they gave me. But, you know, so we have talked about it sometimes. And my mom did mention, you know, apologizing. She's like, I was really hard on you. And I feel bad. I don't want her to feel guilty. It's not, it's what she thought was best at that time, you know? And so I don't want her to feel sad or guilty or anything about it. You know, now it's my responsibility as an adult to understand what happened and move on from it and just let it go and just let it, you know, be at peace with it.
I want to highlight several different processes that seem to apply here in Shantae's story. First, we hear that Shantae was forced into a set of values that weren't in line with what she wanted for herself, which she identifies as connection and friendship and belonging with her peers and loved ones. During those teen years, she started to see living the life according to her parents' values as a kind of trap. She felt isolated by it. And she reacted to this trap of sorts by running away from it, escaping it, in going a completely different direction from where her parents wanted her to be. It makes sense, really, when you think about it, if a trap or confined space tells us to stay there, be compliant when we don't want to be, what does our instinct tell us to do? Think about what I did as a little girl, trapped by the pull of my brother. You know, we pull back, we run away, we react strongly to free ourselves from the trap. And when Shantae started to engage in that escape from the trap, she ironically found other traps that were perfectly set to snag her. Like the allure of drugs that offered a temporary sense of freedom, the alcohol that hid her insecurities, and the temporary sense of connection through parties and unhealthy romantic relationships. But all of these new traps, which looked very different from the one that she found herself in originally, actually only trapped her even more from what she really desired, keeping her from those really close relationships she wanted, and keeping her from having a healthy relationship with herself. And it led her from one extreme right into another. So let's see how she started to make that shift and how she started to disentangle herself from that cycle of extremes and how she found more balanced ways of obtaining her deepest desires without sacrificing them in the process. When did you start to make that shift between feeling kind of lost, totally untethered, and just making decisions because they feel good in the moment, to starting to figure out what is really valuable to you?
Well, I hit a roadblock around a few, like almost a year before it was time for me to move back home after graduating. I was really sad, depressed, angry, just overall unhappy. And I went back home to visit. And I also gained some weight at that time because I wasn't treating my body well at all. Just overall unhealthy state of mind and physically. And my mom was worried. She saw the sadness in my face and sat me down and just said, "What's up? What's going on? You seem really distraught. Like, tell me what's happening." And of course, you know, couldn't really tell her everything that was happening, but I just kind of, you know, danced around, you know, I'm just going through some things right now, Mom. She gave me some really strong words of wisdom, that motherly wisdom that I needed at that time. And, you know, she told me that I need to speak life into myself. And that those words impacted me so much that I have it tattooed on my arm. And ever since that day, you know, I was crying, she was crying, you know, it was a great conversation. I flew back home and I made the conscious decision that day, or that weekend, that I needed to change. And so one of the first things I did was I apologize to my best friend, the one that I mentioned earlier, because I was an asshole. I was an asshole for a while, because when you're unhappy, you're an asshole. I apologize to her. We had a great conversation, and I apologize to all my roommates because I was also an asshole to them. And I made them dinner. I felt real bad. I was like, you guys, I'm sorry. I'm such an asshole.
Can you explain what you mean by that? I'm really curious. Yeah. But why were you an asshole?
I was just angry at everybody, no, for no reason. I was just mad. Like, when everybody else was happy, I was mad that they were happy, you know? It was just kind of like one of those things that, like, I always had something to bitch about, to complain about, to, you know, I was just constantly like this negative person. And so I wanted to apologize to them, because I knew that that's the energy that I was bringing to the environment. And, so after I did that, then I hired a personal trainer, and that was the beginning to where I'm at now.
Oh, that's beautiful. Say your phrase one more time.
Yeah, speak life into yourself so you can live again, so you can breathe again. Mm. Yeah.
What does that mean to you when you hear that?
It means that I need to believe in myself, that I need to believe that I'm worthy of more than what I was giving myself at that time. I wasn't living up to my own expectations. I wasn't living up to my full potential. I was literally wasting all of my talent, all of my intelligence. I wasn't putting any effort into things that were meaningful or worthy. And that showed in so many different ways, you know, not just the drugs and alcohol, but the men that I was dating with, you know, the friends that I was picking, the environments that I was in, my grades. It just showed up in so many different ways that I knew that I deserved more, and I needed to work on that. You know, it wasn't anybody else's fault except my own.
So real quick, after I completely finished this episode, I felt so compelled to just add one more thing into this section right here. When Shantae is talking about speaking life into yourself, this phrase is so powerful. And thank you, Shantae, for sharing it. And thank you, Shantae's mom, for telling it to Shantae. It's just very meaningful. When I was talking to my son a little bit ago about what the word worthy means, I asked him what he meant, what it meant, and he said he didn't really know, and he asked me. And then I said, it means that you find value in yourself. And as soon as I said that, I was like, wow, that's really true. You are worth it. You have value. You have values that you care about. And so how do you express those values? And so I think, to me, speaking life into yourself is like giving yourself permission to say, yes, this is what I care about, and I'm going to do it because it matters to me. And so I really wanted to reiterate this, because I think that having this connection piece from speaking life to yourself, speaking values to yourself, telling yourself that you're worthy to do the things that you care about is an incredibly important message. And I just wanted to thank Shantae for sharing that. Yeah. And it was kind of your way of processing and responding to some of the things that you had felt in the past that you like carried around with you. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like you made a pretty substantial, very specific pivot from what you were doing, which was, you know, felt good, and it like brought you some connection in the moment short term, but it actually ended up making you more isolated from the people you love, like your parents and your friends and your roommates. And so by shifting back, and yourself, it sounds like, mm-hmm. you're able to start making moves that really were, did you feel like you were more starting to connect more than ever once you started making some of these changes?
Yeah, I felt, well, it's funny because, you know, when you're in that, when you're living in an extreme state, you don't just go from that to just being living a normal life. You go from one extreme to the next. So, well, at least from my experience. So I just kind of threw myself into bodybuilding, and that's another really extreme lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And so I was able to easily leave that old lifestyle because the new lifestyle of bodybuilding and dieting is another extreme, you know, lifestyle where you have to stay focused on your diet and not go out. And, you know, you're just like in tunnel vision with these specific goals. And I made new friends along the way because you kind of have to, mm-hmm. But it was still not, I would say, the healthiest state to be in. You know, it was still, I still had, you know, years of body dysmorphia to fight through, body image disorder. You know, my eating habits were all over the place. I did fall into, you know, going back to drugs at a certain point very briefly. And so it was just kind of like this up and down, like really trying to find a peace and a balance. Yeah. And yeah, that took a little while.
Oh, I love that. Mm-hmm. I love that you're sharing that because it's not as easy as just deciding one day and you wake up and your life is perfect,
right?
Or, you know, as good as you want it to be,
right?
That it takes a lot of pivoting and shifting and reassessing and trial and error. Which that really resonates with me because I feel the same way about my own journey around what kind of some of the things that I've dealt with, you know.
Right.
And those either extreme can suit a need, but it may not suit you.
Right.
So I guess then over time, like now, do you feel like you're getting closer and kind of closer to that point where you do feel a little bit more balanced in how you're kind of living in your values and addressing your needs?
Yes, 100%. I would say the first time, so I've been doing, I guess, this fitness and health thing for about 8 years consistently. Mm-hmm. And I would say just within the last 2 years, I've felt 100% at peace with my life, with my, where I'm at, just diet and exercise and mental health, everything just feels really, really good.
Mm, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's nice. It's a nice feeling. It's the feeling I've been chasing this whole time. I was wondering when I'd get here. Jeez, it took forever.
It takes so long.
Yeah.
And do you feel like with the coach, because you're a coach now, you mm-hmm. provide, so describe a little bit about what you do.
So I'm a behavioral nutrition coach, and I've basically combined behavioral science and nutrition science to help people create sustainable and manageable habits around their nutrition behavior. And a lot of times it's not just about nutrition, but it's about your sleep routines and your movement outside of exercise. So I help people pinpoint those areas to help them essentially make the best choice when it comes to their nutrition.
Mm-hmm. And do you feel like through teaching other people to do this work, like, has it made another yet kind of positive impact on you?
Yeah, for sure. I've learned a lot. I learned from all of my clients. And I also want to make an impact. I've had a lot of different coaches in my lifetime, and there needs to be a change in the fitness industry with how coaches are teaching their clients how to create habits around nutrition. There's a lot of disordered eating in the fitness world, and there's a lot of shaming in the fitness world, or, you know, again, talking about those extreme methods of like that hustle mindset of like, you know, you need to be disciplined. And if you're not disciplined, then you're a failure. And so I'm hoping to bring a different light and perspective on how we teach people about nutrition, and also giving them the flexibility to not be perfect all the time and not feel guilty about not being perfect all the time. So that's definitely a big motivation for me.
That is so cool how you just stated that, because I'm thinking about your very beginning of your story and how you're talking about, you know, your upbringing and how there was a lot of discipline and a lot of rules and a lot of extremism, maybe, that you really push against that don't make sense to you. And in your work now, you are still reflecting those values, but in a way that feels really aligned to you, because you've found that kind of sweet spot, sounds like. So that is super
Yeah, I
cool.
didn't even make that connection, to be honest, but yeah, for sure, 100%.
Well, when you tell your life story.
That's so true. You know, I haven't, this is, I think, like the third time that I've told my life story in a podcast, and I've slowly been connecting the dots as I've told my story. I guess you don't really connect the dots fully until you're actually sitting down and explaining it to somebody else.
Yeah,
So.
that's cool. Interesting. Oh, well, wonderful. Thank you so much, Shantae. This was
No, thank
fun.
you. This is amazing. Thank you for inviting me on here.
Yeah, I just feel like it's interesting how I feel as you're talking, we have so much in common, but also are very different. But some of the questions that I asked, I'm like, do you feel this way? Because this is how I feel.
Yeah, especially the introverted part. I feel like we're very introverted, and you know, that's just our comfort bubble that we like to
Yes.
be in.
Yeah. And I really, one thing that I really relate to is I was also, I think I told you, I was also raised in a very religious upbringing.
I
And
remember.
I rebelled against it as well in my own way. But I have found myself again and again and again. If I have a rule placed upon me, or let's say a supervisor, I work in a workplace that doesn't make sense to me, I immediately challenge it, but in my own introverted way. And I have found that I'm most successful when I'm my own boss or when I'm given almost complete autonomy because I feel like I can make really good decisions as long as I'm given that freedom. And I rebel when someone tries to put too many rules on me that don't align or don't make sense to me. So,
100%.
yeah. Okay. Well, thank you again. I will release you so that you can go to sleep
Oh, thank you.
early.
My early bedtime.
Are you going to do to work out tomorrow?
Probably squats, lunges, deadlift, things like that.
Didn't you do that yesterday too?
You just heard from Shantae Gold, a board certified behavior analyst, a nutrition coach, entrepreneur, and inspiration to me as a fellow introvert who has empowered herself and is doing the work of empowering others. As you heard from her story, she is grateful for the path that has led her to where she is now, that her struggles only revealed what she set out to possess in the first place, which is connection and love and living a life that she finds incredibly worthy. But rather than committing to a strict lifestyle or a lifestyle characterized by a lack of rules or boundaries for herself, she now is finding the balance. She has spoken life into herself. I love that so much, by the way. By letting go of what was ensnaring her and also leading others to do that work as well. If you are interested in working with Shantae, find her on Instagram at thepathtogold or learn more on her website, thepathtogold.com. So think about what might have you trapped and how you might free yourself from further entanglement. Maybe it's by letting go of that rope. Maybe it's by allowing that Chinese finger trap to just be there. Maybe it's by looking down and realigning yourself with your own values compass. Or maybe it's by actively choosing to break the rule, but in a way that is super aligned with what you care about most. Whatever you do, continue to use these tools that you've learned over the last season and speak life into yourself because I believe in you. You are worthy. Can you say, I am worthy?
I am worthy.
Can you say, I believe in you?
I mean, I believe everybody in that, even white people and people who have black skin.
Yeah,
because
we're all worthy, aren't we, honey?
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
If you are interested in reaching out and telling your story, would like to join one of the monthly ACT Collective workshops where we go over a new topic in acceptance and commitment therapy and practice those skills right in session together, or are interested in coaching for vibrant introverts, find me on Instagram at ActInspiredBehavior, email me at Gabby@ActInspiredBehaviorCoaching.com, or use the link in my website listed in the show notes. I'd love to hear from you. If this episode resonated with you, subscribe to this podcast and stay tuned for upcoming episodes, as well as the bonus episode, which is coming out in the near future. And perhaps you know someone who could relate to Shantae, myself, or may benefit from this story because of what is going on in their life. If so, text them the link or share it with them on social media. Thank you so much.
I apologize for my face. I took off all my makeup today.
Awesome.
I'm about to crash after our interview, so.
Nice.
Hello again. I want to take a moment and say that this podcast is for educational purposes only. Content and conversation provided in this podcast should not be taken as or replace professional or therapeutic recommendations. As a board-certified behavior analyst, my goal is to disseminate acceptance and commitment therapy and behavior analysis to the wider public and have meaningful conversations to further explore our understanding. If you are concerned about your own personal well-being, I encourage you to seek out the help of a licensed professional who can provide individual support to you. Thank you.
Oh, you're recording this. Is this going to be on somewhere, like the video recording?
So I only take the audio part of it. I don't take this. No.
I
normally dress like this for my interview.
Oh my God.
That was funny. It's funny you say that because I'm like, damn, she looks so beautiful.
Oh my God. You're so... My face got all red. I'm like, no.
I don't know.